We're glad you're here. Hope you're having a good day. We might get some rain this week, possibly even a shower today some places. And it's been dry and dusty. We need it. Creeks dry up and animals need water. Trees dry up. I understand Charlotte's having problems with trees falling down. They're dying and falling over because of the drought. And it could get dangerous, you know, after a period of time for people with wells and things like that. So we pray the Lord will bring us some water and refreshment, cover the dust. We live on a dirt road, so it's real tough to keep a car anywhere in the semblance of clean when you live on a dirt road when it's been this dry. It's really dusty. And if you don't have any rain, you get a desert. So we want a little rain to come. It usually interrupts something we want to do, but we need a little rain to come too. 1 John in your Bibles, chapter 2, begin with verse number 18 today. We saw believers are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're not from the Father, but they're of the world. The world system is under Satan's control and his influence. And Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world. Verse 17, 1 John 2 says, the world is passing away, and the lusts thereof. The things of this world are temporary. They're for a period of time. People sometimes will bargain their soul for the pleasure of the moment, some sinful pleasure. They won't come to Christ and be saved because they're holding on to some sinful pleasure. That sinful pleasure is temporary, my friends. It's going to pass away, but life with Christ is eternal. We're going to live forever with the Lord. Those who follow His will abide forever. I want to begin reading verse 18 this morning, chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time. As you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and this is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at His coming. Let's pray. Father, as we look in Your Word today, I ask that You'll guide me and direct me and help me to be a blessing to Your people. Lord, if there's anyone lost that hears this message, we pray that they would come to Christ and be saved before it's too late. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are the children of God. And as children of God, let us focus on God's realm of things, not this world's things in which we live. Our life in this world is a temp job. We're just passing through. Our friend Sarah Rooks just died. She was in her early 80s. And she was a very active and busy lady up until about a year ago. She was busy helping others who had needs, other seniors. She lived at Westminster Towers. And she was a busy, active person. And so she was ready to go home to be with the Lord. She was saved. And I praise the Lord knowing that. And no matter if you live to be 80 or if you live to be, like my mom will be 96 in September. My Aunt Margaret just celebrated her 96th birthday this week, and she is still lives by herself and drives a car and goes shopping at the grocery store and all that kind of stuff. And I praise the Lord for that. Now, my mom can't do that. My mom has dementia real bad. She doesn't even know who I am. She thinks I'm a fat man that works at the nursing home, and I know too much about her business, you know. And I start telling her, "Mother, I'm your son and my sister's name." She'll say, "Oh, you think you know it all, don't you?" And so she thinks I'm supposed to be about 14 years old, you know, and she can't imagine. I'm 65. I'll be 65 in September. And she can't imagine that I would be her son. But this life's still a temporary thing. We're passing through this world. We're going to live for a period of time, and we know there's something that comes after this life. If we're saved, it's eternal life with the Lord, and we're going to live forever. We don't have to wait to get it when we die. You receive it when you get saved, and you have eternal life with the Lord. Sadly, if people don't know the Lord, there is eternal judgment that is facing them as well. We've got a place in heaven prepared for us. We look for new heavens and a new earth where the Lord has prepared, and we're going to dwell with Him forever and forever. In the book of 2 Peter, I went the wrong way, turn left. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Now, Peter and John and Jude and others, Paul also, have warned of false teachers. But John uses a term that none of them use, and that is the term Antichrist. And it means one who's against Christ or a false Christ. In Jude 3 and 4, just before the book of Revelation, the book of Jude, verse 3, "Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Then verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Now, Paul also warned the elders at Ephesus when he was returning in chapter 20 of the book of Acts. In verse 28 through 31, he warned that after his departure, grievous wolves would enter in among the flock of God and be men of their own congregation, speaking perverse things, which would draw away disciples after themselves. In 2 Timothy 3, he wrote, "This know also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. He said men will be evil and seducers and wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. These false teachers not only deceive people, they're deceived themselves, you see. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now all these warnings from all of these apostles of God are similar, but John uses this title, Antichrist, that the others have not used. So first of all today, as God's children, we must not remain children. We must not be naive. We're to grow up to maturity in the Lord. And we must grow in the knowledge of the Word and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and seek to become more like Him as we pass in time. Now, we're in a spiritual warfare. There are many antichrists that work against us. And 1 John 4 and verse 1 and 3, he said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, or put them to the test, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And verse number 3 said, And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So Antichrist is a false Christ, or is against Christ. False teachers of the unbelieving Jews who did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah had worked against our Lord, had cried out for Him to be crucified. They continued to deny the Lord Jesus as the Messiah of the Jews, and they held on to their religion instead of believing on the righteous one who's the Savior, and they worked against Paul and the other apostles as they preached the gospel and got people saved, and they were envious of them, seeing the multitudes of people coming to know Christ as their Savior, and these false teachers among the Jews were working against Paul and the apostles, having them beaten, put into prison, doing anything they could do to hinder them in the work that they were doing. There were also those cultic groups of that day in John's day when he wrote called the Gnostics. Word comes from the Greek word meaning to know. And these Gnostics claim to have a superior knowledge, a superior revelation. Quite often false teachers will stand up on the TV camera and claim they've had conversations with God Himself. And God has revealed these things to them and not to anyone else. And they know things that other people don't know, and therefore you ought to follow them instead of reading the Bible. Instead of studying the Scriptures, instead of going to church, you should follow them, and they will teach you what you need to know. There's a real problem with that still today in the cultic world. John calls them liars. In verse number 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, many false religions claim to have a relationship with God. They know the Father, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Savior. They don't give credit to Christ as a part of the Trinity or the Godhead. They would deny that, and they would say He was a great prophet and a great teacher and these things. But my friend, that is Antichrist. That is to deny Christ being the person that God says that He is. Peter said, We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. In Colossians 2:8 he wrote, Beware lest any man spoil you. Spanky told a fellow that was going to eat him that time, the thing they made about the fellow, yum yum, eat him up, you know. He said, you won't like me, Uncle George, because Mama says I'm spoiled, you know. It's not talking about that kind of spoil. It's talking about taking you captive, the spoils of war. Beware lest any man spoil you, take you captive by philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We got some philosophers of the world on television that have followings. People believe in them. People listen to what they say. Their teaching affects people's lives. And some people won't go out of the door without reading a horoscope in the morning. Some people will eat a fortune cookie and read that saying and believe what it says. And, you know, they just print them things up at random, friends, you know. And I saw a thing one time that tells you how they put the piece of paper in the cookie, you know, and all that sort of thing. And got numbers on the back. And if you play those numbers, you'll win the lottery. I don't know anybody that's ever won the lottery by playing the numbers that was on the fortune cookie, you know. But people are deceived by many things. John and Peter and Paul and Jude and James all warned of false teachers that would come. Now, what I've experienced in preaching the Bible through 37 years of being a pastor here is that many people do not want you to expose false teachers. They do not want you to preach against any other religious denomination or any other preacher by name or anything of that nature. But if you learn the Bible, you will come to understand that false teachers lead men to hell. They damn men's souls by teaching them a false way of salvation, by denying the Lord Jesus Christ, and they seek to seduce the believers to get their following. And what they are doing is something that we must work against. Jude said, we must earnestly contend for the faith. We got any contenders out there? We got anybody that's contended, you know? We need to contend for the faith of Jesus Christ. We need to knock out the false teachers. Turn over in your Bibles with me to Titus chapter 1. Take a left turn and go back a few pages. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 10. Paul writing to Titus, who was a preacher that was placed in Crete to set things in order there. He said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, referring to the Jews, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. You realize they had televangelists in Paul's day who were preaching and teaching for money and deceiving people to have a following for money's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. You know, if I'd say something like that today, people would get mad at me. But God's Word says it. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. False teachers who teach for money's sake. Paul said their mouths must be stopped. They subvert whole households. They cause whole families to follow them who will die and go to hell unless they get saved by believing on Jesus Christ. Little children, be warned. Be aware of the time in which we live. John said it is the last time or the last day. Revelation 1:1, things which must shortly come to pass. He said, for the time is at hand. We live in the age of grace. Christ came, died on the cross, rose again from the dead. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost to indwell believers. And we began the age of grace. We live in this time period, the church age, the age of grace. And this is the last period of time before the judgment comes. And we are in this last time, and so there will be many deceivers and many antichrists in this last period of time. Number two today, we need to discern antichrists. You've heard the Antichrist will come, John said. Let's look at a passage that deals with that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 7. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, his second letter to them, said in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That word means restrains. He that restrains will restrain until he's taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit restrains evil. But when the rapture takes place and we go to heaven to be with the Lord, the Holy Spirit will withdraw. And it'll be more like it was in the Old Testament time with the Spirit who could come upon a man, but he did not indwell the believers and on a permanent basis. And restraining evil will be unrestrained in that day. It says in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good work and word." The mystery of iniquity, referring to the Antichrist that will come during the tribulation period. The mystery of his iniquity is already at work, but the culmination of it will come when he stands as a world leader. He is called the wicked. Satan has equipped him with power and signs and lying wonders to deceive people. He is the son of perdition, meaning the child of hell. Even now, John said, there are many antichrists. He said, you've heard about this coming antichrist. But even now there are many antichrists. And he said, in verse 19, back in 1 John chapter 2, "They left us because they were not of us." These antichrists that associated themselves with the believers for a period of time left them from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. They couldn't stand the preaching and teaching of the Word and the working of the Holy Spirit. They left, and it was evidence when they left them, they were not really of them. They were not really a part of believers. B.H. Carroll wrote, "If you see a shooting star or a falling star, on a clear night, you see a streak of red go through the sky, and you say, 'I saw a shooting star,' you can be positively assured that was not a star. A star is bigger than Earth. Most of them, hundreds and hundreds of times larger than Earth. What you saw was not a shooting star. What you saw was a meteorite, a rock, a piece of something from outer space that came into our atmosphere and burned up. And what you see when false teachers preach and teach is not the real thing. What you're seeing is something that imitates the real thing. But what's real is not inside them. They don't live the Christian life. They don't preach the Christian life. They preach false teaching, and they tell people what they want to hear to deceive them. Jude called them empty clouds. Right now we desperately need rain. It's drought conditions. And when you see a dark cloud like we've seen in the last couple of days, it gets windy, it gets a little cooler, and a dark cloud starts coming your way, say, "Praise God, it's about to rain." And it passes right on over and keeps going because it's as empty as one of those false teachers is. It has no water in it. And those have no spirit in them. They are empty clouds. They're false teachers. They can't give anybody real hope because they don't preach the truth from God's Word. It's important that we learn to discern right from wrong and know good from evil and truth from a lie. Thirdly, he said in verse 20 and 21, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I've written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." You have an anointing from God, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, who equips you to be able to understand Scripture and to know things that unbelieving people can't know and can't understand. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, Paul lists all men fall under the category of one of three things. They are spiritual men who know and discern all things, judge all things rightly, or they are unspiritual, carnal, immature, who are not grounded as they should be or have not yet grown in the faith. And then there's the natural man who doesn't understand the things of God because the things of God are spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. And a person who's lost can't read the Bible and understand all of it because you've got to know the author to be able to understand the Scripture and have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. False teachers often claim God's spoken to them and revealed some message to them, but a dedicated Christian can hear their message, and if it doesn't match up with Scripture, then we know it's not the truth. They teach works for salvation, or rituals for salvation, or the keeping of the law, or that this particular denominational church is salvation and no other church can provide salvation. Let me say to you, I don't care what the denominational name is or what somebody's background is or anything else. If you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved regardless of the religion your background has come from. Salvation is not in a particular church. It's not in this church. It's in Christ, and the Word of God teaches us that. Do not be deceived. You have God's Spirit to understand His Word. And men who reject Jesus Christ do not have the Father. They don't have the Father without having the Lord Jesus Christ. And the claim that they have God without Christ, that can't happen. That's a lie. That's not truth. You must know Christ in order to know the Father as well. Now, these false teachers depart from the fellowship. They deny the faith. They deceive the faithful. The Holy Spirit abides in the believer, and a believer can continue in the Son and in the Father. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the relationship with God as your Father, and we should continue in that relationship with Him. The characteristic of a mature believer is they are faithful. They have strength. They have stability. By contrast, these false teachers are unstable souls. They're like clouds blown about by the wind. They're constantly chasing something new and better and bigger and different and something that they can sell to people. You and I have a personal responsibility to follow God's message and to preserve it for the next generation that will come along. Now, here's the promise to genuine believers in verse number 25. Eternal life. False teachers seduce the faithful. They confuse weaker brethren, causing them to doubt the sufficiency of the Word of God. My friend, you don't ever have to doubt that you can be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, even by believing on His name, is what the Bible says. You don't have to do a bunch of works or accomplish a bunch of things. I believe everybody saved ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But if you're not baptized, that don't have a thing to do with whether you're saved or not. And there is no action that has to happen from you in order to prove that you're saved or anything of that nature. Now, if you are saved, you're going to be different. There's changes going to take place. I remember when I got up off my knees when I received Christ as my Savior. things were different from that day forward. It was a process in my life from that day forward. Not a process to get saved. God saved me that instant I believed on Him. But there was a process of growth and sanctification that began to take place. One of the first things I did, I looked around and see these other men in the church. They look a lot like the men we got in here. But I didn't look like these men. I was about half a hippie. So I went and got a haircut. I came back to church. People said, "Hey, man, what happened to you? You got a haircut." That same look I get now when people see me since I cut my comb over off. You know, they look at me, "Hey, that's you. Yeah, bald headed." And about 3 months later, I quit smoking. Church had some policies that if you're going to sing in the choir, if you're going to teach Sunday school class, then you couldn't smoke because you're being an example to other people. So I asked the Lord to help me quit smoking. I quit smoking. But the moment I got up off my knees, nobody had to tell me drinking was wrong. I knew it was wrong. I'd lived the life of what alcohol will do to you. And I grew up under an alcoholic father and saw what alcohol will do to you. And so the day I got saved, you can ask my wife, I had liquor and beer and all kinds of stuff at home. I went home and poured it down the drain. I said, I don't give this to somebody else and cause them to drink. I'm poured out. I poured it out. And by God's grace, 41 years later, I've never had a drop of it touch my lips. Unless it was in cough syrup medicine the doctor prescribed or something like that. You say, well, you're strong. No, it has nothing to do with being strong. It has everything to do with being saved. By God's grace, changes will take place in a person who's been saved. But you don't have to do those things in order to get saved. It would never happen. We can never earn it or deserve it because it's a gift of God. But false teachers teach all those things. Mature believers recognize the doctrinal error that comes when false teachers teach. Let me read one more passage and I'll close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. While I'm doing that, I meant to say this a long time ago. Catalina, tell us your friend's name. Marla, she was here during VBS, and great to have you back with us today. I knew you were here, and most everybody knows Jerry and Karen over here visiting with us at from Rock Hill. Good to have you folks. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And he goes on in chapter 3 saying he could not speak to the believers at Corinth as spiritual people because they were babes in Christ. We must not rely upon man's teaching, but upon God's Word. God has ordained the church and pastors and evangelists and teachers. The purpose is to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into the mature man that God would have us to be. And the great motivating factor of our abiding in Christ is that He shall appear. He's coming again. And we're going to give an account unto Him. Let's stand together. Thank you for your patience. Father, we love you. We give you our service here today and pray that you will apply what's needed in each heart. Now, Father, we are not people that claim to have all the answers, but we have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit to enable us to understand. And we are very aware of false teachers that lead multitudes of people astray following them, and who do not know truth and do not preach the truth about Jesus Christ or about sin or about how to be saved or any of those things. So we pray for your help. Strengthen us as a people that we might preserve truth and hand it down to the next generation, that they might be saved and hand it down to the next generation. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace in Christ's name.